You are listening to the Uncommon Truth Podcast, produced by the Father's House Church in Oroville, California. I'm Luke, and we created this podcast because we want to explore Christianity the way that Jesus intended it to be. If you're interested in joining us on this journey, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, or for more resources, check out changeoroville.org. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Uncommon Truth Podcast.
This is 2 weeks in a row for me.
Vicky's
this
here.
This is like a record.
This is like Groundhog's Day for me.
Vicky thought that we did this chapter last week, so we're off to
next week is confusion, so that's when I'll really pick up.
That's when she'll say, oh, that's what happened.
Oh, that's what happened. Yeah, I don't know. It must be the weather. It was 70 degrees yesterday. Today it's like 40 below zero. Am I embellishing?
Maybe a little.
It's supposed to rain for like 6 days in a row, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe by the time
this
airs. I think
it's supposed to be rainy. Like today's a rainy day, but
it's cold.
Almost no water is falling from the sky.
But it's very cold.
Anywhere I am,
compared to some people.
Other places. Yeah.
Maybe it's not that cold compared to other places in the country.
Anywho.
Yeah, I'm in a light sweatshirt.
Anywho. All right.
How are things at the Father's House?
I think they're the best they've ever been.
Really, that's true. I agree.
People are just really getting close and friends, and it's really a becoming the body that I thought the Bible always, talked about in the Book of Acts Church.
Yeah, it's starting to
in
look
terms
like
of fellowship and care.
Yeah,
maybe not the power that's described, really showing up that much. Although today we had a testimony from Lights of Hope Prayer Tent.
Bruce.
Like, hey, my back was healed.
Yeah.
Or, my back is way better. Yeah. Whatever it was at the gym.
Yeah.
Guy came back to the gym and
said,
you guys prayed for me out there, and it really changed my life.
Well, it was worth it.
Yeah, so we are seeing some power, some power.
And
movement.
We had a thing last Wednesday night that just was, I don't
and
think we talked about
it. Visitation of holiness, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
We had a visitation of holiness.
Things are happening. It's pretty exciting.
I think it's the best it's ever been.
I agree.
Yeah. That's good. Well, we'd love to.
You look
to
very good in your little beanie.
Have you come out and visit us at the Father's House?
Me?
Yes.
You looked at me and said it.
What?
You're talking to other people.
We're in for a treat this week, guys. So, but yeah, we'd love to have you come
we
visit us.
We should be doing confusion today.
Yeah. We'd love to have you visit us at Father's House. If you are local to Oroville, where we are,
yes, we'd love it.
Sunday is at 10, Wednesday is at 6.
Love to have you.
And you can come and meet Vicky.
Oh, boy, that'd be great.
Praise
but
the
you
Lord.
Literally looked at me and said, I'd like you to come to the Father's House. And then you stopped. And I'm like, so you got, didn't you think he was talking to me too?
Yes. Yes. Did I answer that right, Vicky?
Let's
dive right in.
Yeah, let's do that.
We're a little late for that.
Anywho.
Chapter 7 of In His Likeness. I should say this. If we are reading from Steve's book, In His Likeness, you can pick it up on Amazon or at the church. Just search for In His Likeness by Steve Orsillo. And this week it's the chapter titled My Words Will Judge You, which is a really nice greeting, but I'm sure we'll find out what that's all
it's
about.
It's not light reading, right? Yeah. Go ahead.
Steve's going to read a little bit to us.
I'll read the first
paragraph
of the seventh chapter. As my search for the right thinking that comes from relationship with God continued, I began to ask the Lord why there were not any examples of the Book of Acts Church happening in my country or around me. Why was there so few happening in the world? His answer was the most surprising thing I believe he has ever said to me. It is my testimony that the Father of Heaven, Lord over all the earth, answered me with these words, because you are all confused. You have been listening to too many voices, too many messages, too many speakers who do not speak for me.
Ouch.
I asked him, then who should we listen to? Jesus, he said. Well, I thought I had been listening to Jesus, but the Lord had answered me, and when I know it is his voice telling me something, I am ready to do all he tells me to do.
Wow.
What do we do with that, Vicky?
What do you do with that? Well, I was there when it happened, so what we did with it was we started, we talk about it often, is that when he told us this, we told Steve, but when he tells Steve, he tells me, he took us to the chapter in the Gospels, which one is it, Steve, where Jesus took two or three men up a hill to for the transfiguration. And it's funny that the Lord just showed this vision to Steve, and it was like, you know, we kind of were like, we're there, and Jesus was there, and then Moses and Elijah were there, and those are the law and the prophets, correct? And and the disciples, apostles, said something very curious. They said, oh, it's so good that we're here. Let's make an altar to all three of you, the law, the prophets, and you, Jesus, and, you know, whoever you are, because they had no idea who Jesus was at this point, in my opinion. And as soon as they said that, it was something very curious happened. Moses and Elijah were gone. They evaporated. A vision.
Disappeared anyway.
They disappeared. God the Father said to these men, this is my son, listen to him. Yeah. And so what we have done with that in the 25 years of the Father's house, last 20, is we read the words of Jesus and we try to act upon them. And we read the words that are going to judge us, because I don't want to be mistaken and get to heaven and say, yeah, you didn't quite read those words correctly. So we have decided not to be confused as much as possible. And we don't actually look at the Old Covenant or the Old Testament as how we should live. We read the Old Covenant and the Old Testament of who God is, and he changes not. And it just points to Jesus. So we like to read the words of Jesus and try to act upon them.
That's good.
And not try to white out any verses that we don't really agree with. So I'm sure Steve has more to
understand or uncomfortable with. We have to get through them all.
Yeah.
They're literal,
so
right?
So what happened for me that day was I was incredulous a little bit, because I had always preached Jesus.
Yeah, you had.
Every time I was asked to speak, or even during those years with my weekly teaching in youth ministries I had, I always spoke from the Gospels.
Correct.
I only taught Jesus and then expounded upon it with epistles and the rest of, you know, and the old.
Yeah.
And what changed for me was what Vicky said about this old covenant is not how you live, it's how you see who God is.
Yeah. Good.
It's how you know the covenant you have with God. Mm. He says, behold, I bring you a new covenant, a new covenant I form with you. And it's about his son, Jesus. And so really, to know you're in a Jesus covenant, a new covenant, I think it's really monumental that you know the God you're making an agreement with.
Yeah.
A covenant is a designed agreement. If you'll do this, then I will do this with you. For God, it's, I'll do this and make this possible if you will believe and come follow me and deny yourself, then I will do these things. And it's an agreement. And it's an agreement that is remarkable. And I had always preached only Jesus. So my actual literal words were, I'm confused.
You're incredulous.
Yeah, I was incredulous. I'm confused.
That's
I'm
right.
The Jesus man. I've always been the Jesus man.
Yeah.
He's who I preach. And it's how people pray when I say, be my Lord and Savior. Them say Jesus, you know. So I was a little surprised that I was lumped in with all these as confused,
right? Unbelievers or the confusers.
Yeah, so I understood, though, like Vicky was saying, that I too taught all these principles as though they were new covenant agreement principles.
I.e., like
I can't even think of any, but, you know.
Tithing.
Proverbs.
Tithing as a rule.
Yeah.
Just so many things
storing,
that David and
up.
Just David and Solomon and God treated Jacob this way, so therefore he'll treat me this way, and Abraham, and this is what was required of this guy, and this is what required of that guy. So that's what's required of you and me, and it's just not true.
Hmm.
What's required of us is what Jesus said, this I command you, and what Jesus said, a righteous man does these things, you know. Anyone who would come after me must pick up their cross and deny themselves and follow me.
Wow.
And 500 different ways he said, you're my disciple if you do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
So the idea is you got to spend some time finding out what Jesus told you to do.
Sounds like a good idea.
And people make it very complicated, but the truth is what he told us to do, he said, if you'll do these things, you'll fulfill everything. In fact, this agreement fulfills all of the other agreements.
Literally
and,
says that.
And it, you know, it's pretty cool. So.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, the chapter is My Words Will Judge You.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm guilty before Jesus so sweetly kind of convicted us, I was guilty of mixing both covenants.
Right.
And reading something I didn't agree with in the Gospels and just kind of, well, you know, like push it off, you know.
Moving on.
It's not literal. Yeah. But what I think the biggest revelation Steve and I have had and you've had is that the words are literal.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus's words and the epistles are literal. You know, we need to follow them. I mean, even things we don't agree with, it's like, we better investigate this. But in my opinion, I just had an excuse and just pushed him aside.
Yeah.
So his words will judge me. I should actually know what his words are. That's to good. Me.
I want to read the scripture that's the sentence, "My words will judge you," comes from. So this is in John chapter 12. I'm going to, in the book it says just verse 48, but I'm going to read from verse 44. Jesus says, "And Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me does not believe in me, but him who sent me.
Wow.
He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at that last day."
The words I spoke.
"For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me."
And in so many places, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I told you? It's like,
he
really puts a lot of emphasis on the words I speak.
Yeah.
Yes.
And here it says, the things I told you, you're going to be held responsible for, and they're going to judge you.
Yep.
"Anyone who hears these sayings of mine and acts upon them is like the wise man who built his house on the foundation of rock. And anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not act upon them is like the man who built his life on the sand.
Yep.
Great will the storm be that beats on both of them, and this house will stand and that house will fall greatly."
Wow.
And it's just really clear what Vicky quoted earlier. "This is my son. Listen to him."
Wow, come on.
"This is my son.
Yeah.
All these other people aren't my son. You want to listen to them. You want to build altars to everything. You want to worship at every altar. But, man, you better get serious about those red letters in the Bible."
Yep.
And they say stuff that just, I mean, is so contrary to the conventional wisdom of today in what is believing, what the definition of believing is. Because we're all quoting, "If you believe, you're saved."
Mm-hmm.
But he's defining believe much different than the American or English version of it, right?
Right.
So, this, what you just read, you know, about his words, he says it all over the place about these sayings of mine, these words of mine. You'll find life, and if you don't, you'll find death.
Yeah.
That's so critical. I was just thinking about this chapter, that my words will judge you. And I think we've lost that in 21st century?
Yes.
21st century third world Christianity.
First world.
Third world, first world.
First
world. Thank you. I think we've lost that criticalness and the importance of his words.
Yeah.
Can I just be honest? Most people most people I meet, not everybody, but they don't even know what he says. They do. They'll quote like bumper sticker, believe in your heart and confess in your mouth, but they don't really know what his words are saying. Or it would affect every area of how you live, how you give, what you do with your time, how you look to others, how you cause no one to sin, to stumble. It's better that a millstone be put around your neck than cause a little one to stumble. It's like, just live that one.
Yeah.
But, Jesus' words are so critical. And, we go at the Father's house for 25 years. We've gone continuously in order, line upon line. Every week, it's the next scripture in line. And there's no denying what he's saying. If you're confused by the words of Jesus, you just need to stop, drop, and roll, because your hair is on fire and you need to read the words of Jesus in context.
Yeah.
And don't cherry pick words out and base your whole Christianity on, all you got to do is believe.
Right.
Well, I don't want to hope and put all my hope in the fact that all I have to do is believe. I want to make sure I know what believe means, because he also says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Mm. Well, that's different than just abracadabra, I believe, correct?
Right, yeah.
So I think it'd be really good for you to, this in the next year, is just to read the words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think one of the things that happens is that we don't live with an expectation that there is going to be a judgment day.
No.
Amen.
Right.
100%.
Right.
You know, we live like...
He did it all for me.
Yeah, it's done, and... Or it's either that it's done, or at least the judgment day always feels like, oh, that's one day, you know, out there somewhere, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm living my life now, but then I'll be before him. But that moment could be
today. That's right. And for me, for us who's in their 60s, that's hard to say, in their late 60s, it's coming sooner probably for us than most people. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully it comes way sooner than a 30-year-old man. Mm-hmm. But it's like living every day like it really was your last, and treating people, you know, treating people like it's the last day. I mean, if it was our last day, I think we would really find out what the words of Jesus were. Yeah. I don't know. But Jesus Christ is very serious about the holiness standard, living his words. He says, like Steve said, he says this over and over again. It's not undercover. It's not confusing. His words will judge you. Okay, I need to find out what that means.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really what people do is they hear the words, confess and believe and you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just grab onto it. They don't know that all the rest of his red letter words are defining the definition of confess and believe. Mm-hmm. We want the English 21st century version. But that isn't what Jesus is saying, confess and believe is. He literally says, if you can't love me more than your mother, your father, your brothers, sisters, and your sons and daughters, you cannot be my disciple. Wow. And but I confess and believe. Well, he's saying, you don't confess and believe unless you love me more than everybody. Mm. He's saying things like, if you don't pick up your cross and follow me. He's literally saying, picking up your, I want to be saved, but I don't want to carry no crosses.
Give to any man.
And he's saying over and over, you cannot be my disciple.
You cannot be.
Luke chapter 14 has a list of them. You cannot be my disciple. He says, give to any man who asks. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Yeah. He says all these things.
They're not nice.
And so what it really means is, if you don't give to everyone who asks you, then you don't believe. And your confession is not true.
Yeah.
It's like, what? This is my son. Listen to him. Don't listen to everybody else.
Wow.
Don't let them try to make doctrines and stuff. Don't let them twist words. He says, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Mm-hmm. He says, you're not even a disciple if you don't do these things. So therefore, you can't believe if you don't do these things. He said, if I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And then in the end, he says, the ones who did give him something to drink, the least of these, my brethren, went away to eternal life. And the ones who didn't went away to eternal punishment. So therefore, the definition of believe and confess has to be taking care of least of these, your brethren.
Yeah.
And we don't want it to be that. We want it to be, I said I believe.
Yeah.
I showed that in my heart I have emotional belief. Therefore, I believe, therefore I'm saved. Well, that's not what he's saying.
Wow.
He's saying that it's not a word, it's an action. Mm-hmm. Confess and believe is an action of your life. It is the way you live your life. And he turns it into loving your enemies, turning the cheek, going the extra mile, all of those things, giving every man who asks.
There's so many.
And it's just, this is my son. Listen to him.
Yeah. It's such a verb. Christianity is such a verb. And I think we just think it's a noun or something, you know, we believe. Or
yeah.
I don't know if that's a noun, but it feels like... You know,
it's not a one-time moment, right?
It's not a one-time moment.
No.
I didn't do that. I didn't, just because I did it in 1979 does not mean that I am okay.
Yeah.
As you were reading, cross-carrying is continual. Yeah. It's long-term.
Yeah, right.
He says, if you don't pick up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. What the heck? Yeah.
John chapter 8, as you were sharing, I was thinking about this scripture. He says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and then you will know the truth, and
wow,
the truth will make you free.
That's so good.
If you continue in my word.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
And then everybody says, well, he's talking about the words in Genesis and Deuteronomy. No, it is truly Christmas Day, angels coming to visit the shepherds in the field. There is no room at the inn. The baby is born, And the wise men come, and the angels come, and the shepherds come, and rejoice that the king has been born. That is the day these words and sayings of mine begin, because God has become flesh and dwelt among us. The Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, has become man. Yeah. He has come and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory. And it's his words. That's why he says these sayings of mine.
We'll judge you.
And he's talking about the man Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, his words. Mm. And that's why the Father spoke, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, this my beloved Son," and the one we've already quoted, "This is my Son, listen to him."
Mm-hmm. Right after page 40, Steve says, "He began at this time, God, to reveal to me how my life was a great effort to live a double covenant," old covenant, new covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. "He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, but he has made a different agreement with his people. I can choose which covenant I want, but living both is impossible." "The double covenant way of life will only confuse, have no power, and cause the unbelieving world to say that our message is confusion and conflicted." Yeah. And that's kind of where we were. I mean, and we were Jesus people, but we were confused and conflicted. And we had I feel like we didn't have any power at all over lots of stuff. And if you listen to Christianity today, I can't even follow it. And it should be so easy that a little child should be able to understand what Jesus did and what that means. It's not a one-time thing. But the message going forward to non-believers, even to accept Jesus, it's like you do this, it's a magic wand, and you click your heels and you're in heaven because you just confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart and you're saved. That's not what I'm reading in the words of Jesus. And so I want to make sure that I take these, like I said before, that I literally take his words and not X out any of his words and try to live every one of them.
Downplay them. Don't downplay them.
No.
Give them their full measure.
Yeah, I think another struggles with this is one of the we talked about this last time a little bit with Heal My Wrong Thinking, that sometimes the modern thinking of the day can affect our capacity to follow him, right? I think one of those is the idea that we like to say things like, "I'm only human," right? So we take away our ability to meet the words of Jesus by saying, "Well, I'm only human. He was God, so I can't do that," right?
And all of sin.
So instead of putting ourselves next to him and then saying, "Oh man, I'm not doing very well at imitating you. I'm not doing very well at following our words," we say, "Oh, I don't need to do that because I'm only human. So if I make, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to mess up."
Or we excuse bad behavior by saying, "I'm not perfect.
I'm not perfect."
Right.
You know, that's why that's why I have a Savior.
Yeah.
That's why I have a Lord, because he's got my back. And it's like, no, the plumb line is Jesus Christ. And yeah, you're only human. However, that does not excuse your inexcusable behavior. And that's the thing, is that we want to excuse our inexcusable behavior. But it's like, no, we should endeavor to shoot at the mark and not intentionally sin. And because his words will judge me. They talk about all the way through New Covenant that, you want to nail him up again? Or, God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. I mean, it's like just those words in and of itself, that makes me shudder to think that, yeah, he would think I was mocking him by my life or my choices.
Wow. Yeah, and how it works is when you sin, sorry your sin.
Yeah.
You're sorry for your sins. You confess your sin, and you confess it as sin. "Oh, I did this, but God's got my back." Isn't really saying it was wrong to do it.
No.
What you are wrong, and you are sorry you're wrong, and you're not trying to be wrong. You're not saying, "Oh, he'll forgive me." You're just saying, "Oh, I don't know why he would forgive me. Yeah. But Lord, I have sinned against you." Yeah. And he forgives you. That's the grace of God. That's the new covenant, is that I intend to never sin again. I'm sorry when I do, and he forgives me. And he cleanses me. And his word continues to purify me and sanctify me. But when I say, "I got this," or "I've been there and done that, I bought the t-shirt," when I make a mockery of it, of just, "I'm not perfect, so therefore I'm going to sin and God's got my back," it's like the real way you better approach God is, "I do not measure up. I fall short of your glory." When it says all have sinned, I heartily confess I have sinned. And I don't I don't know why you would even accept me because I fall short of your glory.
Did you say heartily?
I think.
Or hardly?
Heart, I don't know.
Okay.
So.
Makes a difference.
I don't know how someone comes to God feeling like he's just, hey, it's like you're communicating, he owes it. Hmm. Or it's automatic. But to me, it's, he should not forgive me, but he does forgive me. And I am so grateful. It just causes me to fall in love more. And I think that if any wise person would read this and see what a holy God looks like, when you read the Old Testament on who God is, you find out he plays serious. He play, and when you read the Old Testament, I mean, you'd have to be a heartless person to not say in many, many places, oh, wow, that's harsh.
Yeah.
I will turn your kids into liquid where they stand.
Oh.
I mean, it's like swallowing
people.
People, turning whole cities of every age into salt. It's like, oh, drowning the whole world.
Oh.
Just like, oh, he is not very pliable in this stuff. He's serious about it. He's truly serious about it. Then you read the book of Revelation, the end.
Yeah.
Oh, he's returned as the serious one. And then he offers you this grace, and it's like, wow, I will never sin against you. You give me a free ride. So when I approach, it's like, whoa, I've fallen short. I don't measure up. Look at this plumb line. I look so crooked next to it. Look at this purity. I look so unpure next to it. And my thoughts, I mean, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked I come, even wretched. And yet you accept me. See, that's where the grace of God lives. I do not qualify. I am not worthy. But you accept me. You forgive me. And just, it makes you fall in love. Like, I don't deserve this. How did I get this in my life? How did I have this wonder? I pinched myself. Is this real? You know, and I think that's what Jesus is trying to convey. You don't understand what God is offering you. If Abraham saw this day, he'd be shouting for joy because he didn't have anything like this. He had to step very carefully.
Huh.
David, you know, all these guys that got punished, they got, you know, it's like, whoa, that doesn't see. Oh, that's harsh, you know, wow. Man, whoa, really? I've done worse.
Yeah.
And he doesn't judge me. He forgives me. And I approach him humbly. You don't owe me forgiveness. In fact, if I was you, I wouldn't forgive me. But you do forgive me. And it's marvelous.
Yeah.
And it makes me love you more. Paul was trying to explain that when he says, what? So I sin so grace abounds? No, by heavens, no. No, but I got to come to the revelation that my sin should not be this frivolous, and I should not expect so easily to be forgiven. I should say it wasn't easy. It was free.
It wasn't cheap.
It wasn't cheap. It wasn't easy. He suffered dearly to purchase my forgiveness. I'm not going to pile on. I'm not going to keep throwing dirt in the water.
Yeah.
I'm going to endeavor to never sin again. And if I sin, I'm going to be sorry for it. I'm going to be remorseful. I'm going to be broken over it because I want to love him with my actions more than my words.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we get it wrong in the 21st century the most, is the understanding that Jesus is teaching something on how to receive grace, how to confess and believe. And we settle for just tell me what believe means. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to, how about all this, you know, servants in the vineyard that stood against enemies or, you know, all the different, the bridesmaids with no oil in their lamp and the branches without fruit and the blah, 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 and so many, on and on and on, and all the different foundations of sand and stone and so much stuff going on in this thing. Defining, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart.
That's really good. I also hear, you know, some of the words he says, like, you know, you will cast out demons, heal the sick, you'll speak to this mountain, move, and it'll move. Like, some of those things that are, like, the promise side as well as the, There's the side of it that's the live this way, right, which is a call to holiness. And there's also the side of it that is if you walk with me and you follow my word, you'll see these things. And I think that I forget that actually is the most exciting thing that he would want to use me to accomplish his will. And maybe we get disappointed, maybe we get frustrated, maybe we get complacent. I don't know what it is, but somehow we could decide somewhere down the road that that's out of reach, that I'm never going to be able to do those things, or not to the degree that the promise. And I think that's another way which then I don't want to come before Jesus and on judgment day and him say, well, I told you could do those things, but you didn't do them.
If you believe,
right. Like, but his words, like the promise, like I told you could, but you didn't. And I don't want to miss out. I want to say you could have just done that if you'd have believed or if you'd have trusted me. And I think that I want to make sure that I don't give myself an excuse to not pursue the things that Jesus promises, as well as not believe in a way that is valuing grace and holiness as well.
So would you guys both consider that his words are very literal?
I think they're very literal, very.
In the New Covenant, I'm talking about.
I think Jesus' words are literal. Mm-hmm. And I think the most important issue of heal my wrong thinking and my words will judge you is the definition of what believe means, because it's a lot of promises says if you believe, and there's very little straight up believe means this. It's just a million stories, parables, and things that define believe. Oil in your lamp, fruit on your branch, turning the other cheek, feeding the and clothing and forgiving and healing the least of these, and making effort and cost to your life to help the least of these. Mm-hmm. And it's so many stacked up, and they're all screaming the same thing. This is what believe means. Mm-hmm. And then the promise, if you get that, then the promise of if you believe, understanding this is what believe means, you'll lay hands on the sick.
All these things shall be
added
to you.
You'll cast out demons. Yeah. You'll preach the kingdom, and people will go to heaven because of you. It's just so many things. And I think one of the biggest missing elements is God in me. I pray to an external God. And part of believing is having him make his home in you. And it's clear that some people who claim to have it don't. Mm. And it's clear that some people act in great grace and stuff, and they seem to have him acting, and they're not positive he lives in them. So I think it's something to be defined. And the biggest number one definition of heal my wrong thinking or your words will judge me is, what does believe mean when you look at the words or the red letters in the Bible? Yeah. How do they define what believe means?
Great Bible study right there. Great way to show yourself approved, studied.
So to close this out, Steve, would you read for us the last two paragraphs of the chapter?
Okay, starting with Jesus spoke?
Yeah.
Jesus spoke so many incredible words. If a man spent a lifetime learning and meditating on the words of Jesus and invested all of his efforts into reflecting those words to the world, that man would see the fruit of a life of no greater love. Mm. He would be the great in the kingdom of God servant that Jesus was. He would love the Lord more than his brother, sister, mother, father, or sons and daughters. That man would give mercy and forgiveness, even to those who hated him. He would not throw stones. He would serve everyone with his whole heart. It is this that would help make him a little anointed one. Because of this, he would heal the sick and set the captives free. He would live in continual pursuit of the promise of the Father to give us the power to become the children of God. This man who spent his life striving to enter by the narrow door and listen to him would feed the hungry and clothe the naked. He would visit those in prison and invite the stranger in. He would do only what the Father told him to do and say only what the Father told him to say.
Wow.
Just as Jesus turned water into wine, the man who gave his life in pursuit of the imitation of Jesus would also take common everyday things like water and make them into something notable like the best wine. People would be transformed, just like the fishermen who became fishers of men. This person would truly come to the world in his likeness.
Good. Amen.
I don't think we need to add anything to that.
That's great.
So. That is communication right there.
Yeah.
Lord, I really like this book. Yeah. It inspires me. Yeah. I only hope it inspires you.
Yeah. And they can get it where?
Amazon or at the Father's House Church now. So
can they get it online on changeorville.org, the website?
No, they can get it on Amazon.
Oh.
.com.
But can they? No, just kidding.
So
we wouldn't have a shipping department.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So Amazon is your best bet for online. We'd love for you to read along with us. You can also pick up Steve's other books there. And have a wonderful day.
Have a great week.
And let that thought, how am I doing if I allow his words to judge me? And,
good.
You know, yes, it's a one-day thing, but it can also be a thing right now. You can say, Jesus, how am I doing at following your words?
Really good.
And if there's a change that needs to be made, let's make that today.
Yeah, what? And just read yeah. A study, show yourself approved. Amen?
So, amen.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Uncommon Truth Podcast today. I hope this episode encouraged you, inspired you, maybe even challenged you to keep seeking after everything Jesus has for you and the life he calls you to live. If you haven't already, please take a moment and subscribe to the Uncommon Truth Podcast. That way you'll get every episode each week when it's released. It would really help us if you could rate, review, and even share this podcast with anyone that you think would be encouraged by it. Help us spread the message to more people so that we can all live out this Christianity the way Jesus intended it to be. If you would like to get in touch with us, have any questions about the podcast, the topics, or even like us to pray for you, you can do so by emailing us at uncommontruthpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next time.